And for our scripture reading, we'll be reading from Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 12, then 25 to 31, followed by Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 33. Proverbs 31, 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Ephesians 5. Verses 22 to 33. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself as glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh and nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Let's pray as we will receive the word of God. Heavenly Father, we would like to praise you and thank you. And we'd like to bring you back all the glory, that which is for you. And as we receive your word, we ask for your grace that truly we may be able to receive the knowledge which comes from you, and the knowledge especially of the Lord Jesus Christ, that truly that he will continue to work in our lives as we continue to face this life. And we just pray for your presence in our midst, that truly we see your work, even in this church and in our lives. We commit to your Pastor Joss as he delivers the word, that you would anoint him, and truly may you work in this word that we are about to receive. May all this glorify you, and we commit only in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, today is Mother's Day. And I normally don't find myself preaching anything occasional. Those who have been here for a while know that I don't generally take from a holiday that has come around and find then a message to preach. But I thought on Mother's Day this year, I will make an exception. Preach from Proverbs 31 about the virtuous wife, often called simply the Proverbs 31 woman. Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? And this poem goes on for 21 more verses describing the activities and the virtues of this model woman of God. It is so important to have these before us that it actually closes out the book of wisdom. Think about that for a moment. Proverbs is the book of wisdom, most of it written by Solomon. And this Proverbs 31 woman, this paradigm that we have, is so important that it closes the entire book. And we have to think about that for a moment because, as I said, most of this written by Solomon. Well, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, excepting only Jesus Christ himself. So as the close of the book, we do have important words before us. Now, Matthew Henry was a great 17th century Puritan, and he said this very well. He said, Proverbs 31 is the mirror against which every Christian woman must stand and face herself. Every Christian woman. I think he said it right. Proverbs 31 is the mirror against which every Christian woman must stand and face herself. Now, more recently, John MacArthur decried how the qualities described in this portion of God's Word are denigrated in our society and our culture. He said, and I quote, "In the last 30 years or so, our society has moved so far from these principles that it may seem almost ludicrous to imagine a woman today fitting into the mold of the standards given here in Proverbs 31. The world, I think MacArthur says correctly, would disdain this woman, this standard. They would mock, I believe. And so today, Mother's Day 2007, it seems appropriate to me that we review these standards and that we look together into this mirror to find what God would have reflected in it. The opening verse speaks of the character to be sought in a godly wife. You know, she's virtuous. And most of the remaining verses then speak to us of the activities of this virtuous Proverbs 31 woman. This wife and the direct result of this character trait, her virtue. What happens because of that? What does she actually do? Now, virtue here is an interesting word. It's the same word that the angel of the Lord used when he greeted Gabriel. He said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Valor, and it's the same word used of this Proverbs 31 woman. So we could say, who can find a valorous wife? I would paraphrase the capture the flavor of this opening question. I would say something like, who can find a woman of valor, of strength, and of courage as his wife? for her worth is far above rubies. Quick word about rubies. Diamonds were not known in the ancient world. They hadn't mined them yet. And I have no doubt that if they did have diamonds, that diamonds would replace rubies in this text. But rubies at the time were the most valuable gem available. They were incomparable. Now, as we go through some of the routine, some of the daily routine of this woman, I want to keep in mind the value and where it is found. It is in her virtue. To keep this firmly fixed in our minds, look ahead at verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And Proverbs 9:10, chapter 9 and verse 10, sort of in the opening of the book, tells us that wisdom begins with what? The fear of the Lord. So she speaks with wisdom, and we know that wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord, so she's able to speak wisely because, first and foremost, she has reverence and awe for God. Verse 25 tells us that strength and honor are her clothing. That's verse 25. Right before that, in verse 24, we're told how she makes and sells clothing for others. She makes clothing for others. She sells it, but strength and honor are her clothing. Her personal covering, so much more valuable than the cloths that she uses to make clothes for others. It's her virtue that makes her so valuable. And so now let's look into her routine. Let's look at the activities that flow from this characteristic, this virtue. Let us say in a word that this Proverbs 31 woman is industrious. She works hard. She works smart. She has her priorities straight, and she deals well with the public. She negotiates. She buys. She sells. And the benefits that she derives go first and foremost to her family. And yet, as we will see, the poor and the needy are not forgotten. She is a woman whose priority is her family. The entirety of her activities in the text are bracketed by the priority of her families. I want you to see this. Verses 10 to 12 are introductory. And at verse 13, we have the beginning of her activities. We have the introduction. What kind of a character trait does she have? She's virtuous. And her husband trusts her. She does good, not evil. And then beginning right at verse 13, what does she do? She seeks wool and flax and so forth. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. And then verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. That brackets all her activities. Priority is the household. Family first. Nothing gets in the way of that. I wonder how often we do this. Let something interrupt that priority. How often do we change our behavior by what we think others want to see? We have a perception what others might expect of us, and so we change what we're doing. This woman, this Proverbs 31 woman, she does not do that. She looks to her family first. Verse 27 is a very important summary. She watches over the ways of her household, not others. It's the same word used when God commissioned Ezekiel, by the way. He said, "Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel." He's to watch over Israel. Commissioned by God to do that. And this woman, this Proverbs 31 woman, does the same thing. She's a watchman over her household. As we will see, that doesn't mean that she ignores the needs of others, but is family first. And watch out for her house, she does. You know, it snows in Jerusalem. We always think of it as this hot, arid place. Do you know it snows 3 out of 5 years in Jerusalem? Verse 21 tells us something about that snow. It says, she is not afraid of snow for her household. She's made sure they have all they need to be safe and secure. Look also at verse 22. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Purple being, of course, a sign of having plenty. The rich people had purple. There's a point there that we can take out of that, that she's not afraid of being beautiful. That is, she's not falsely humble. She's not needlessly self-abasing. I picture here, when we read that, a woman who knows the principles of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 3 through 5. Let me read those for you. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Her first priority is that her household is clothed. And after that, she's willing to dress herself in a manner befitting good sense and economics, but at the same time, attiring herself nicely as those circumstances and modesty both allow. I said that a little clumsily. Let me try that again. She's willing to dress herself in a manner that befits good sense and economics, but at the same time, she attires herself nicely as good sense and economics and modesty allow her to. Not falsely humble or self-abasing. Her priorities are family. She still takes care of herself. She's a woman with great business acumen. Now, this is found in verses 16 through 18, and then verse 24. Let me read those for you. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Now, I read this, and I think sometimes this can be a little bit threatening for us men. You know, we feel sometimes like our wives are not demure and submissive if they're able to handle themselves in the business world. And here she is, she's considering a field, and she's not just looking at it. She's not just standing from afar and looking at the field and wondering what it will do. She looks at it, and then she makes plans for the field, and we can picture her watching the crops grow or going to the field foreman and talking to people who own fields next door or adjacent to it and finding out, what is this land like? What is the crop history like? What is this land really going to do? She is, as we might say today, she's into it, and she knows what she's doing. So she buys this field. Obviously, she makes a good choice. And she makes some profit, and she plows them right back into her portfolio. And there's no shopping spree for her, no silly spending. She reinvests and develops more resources for her family. Now, I wonder sometimes how many of us men match up to this. How often do we men have a dollar in our pocket, and it just burns a hole there till we find something to spend it on? I've got to see a smile or two when I say that. You know, I was talking to a guy who just came in this morning on a motorcycle I've ridden with before. I just bought a fork brace for my Kawasaki. And the bike was fine before. And this improves it. And it's a good thing to have on it, but it wasn't necessary. But I just happen to have a little money burning a hole in my pocket, and it's not doing my wife any good, it's not doing my son any good, it's not getting any paint on the walls. It just helped that hobby of mine. This woman, this Proverbs 31 woman, would not have done that. Now, I'm not saying I'm an abject sinner or anything like that. Let's not take it too far, please. But she wouldn't have done that. It would have gotten plowed back into the family first and foremost. Money wouldn't just leak out of her purse. She would find a way to make it productive. She is a woman who's concerned for those around her. Let me point out something. The Bible is a unified, self-confirming whole. By what we call the analogy of faith, we confirm our understanding of any one passage by comparing it with others. Now, James wrote, long after this proverb, the following words. He said, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Now, with that in mind, listen to verse 20 of our proverb. She extends her hand to the poor, yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. Family first, that's her primary responsibility. But with the extra, before superfluous spending, which is not always bad, we take vacations, that doesn't mean we're being sinful. Some of us have nice cars, that doesn't mean we're being sinful. It's the priorities that are in view. And here, our model wife helps the poor. Her family's doing well. God has blessed her. She's reinvesting. She's making profit. Her family is clothed. They don't have to worry about the snow that comes. They're well cared for. They're warm. They're fed. The maidservants, those who support the household at that level, are all taken care of. And then what does she do? She helps the poor. She helps the needy. She looks out to those who don't have it as good as they have it. So this is our Proverbs 31 woman. That's the briefest, fastest sketch of the Proverbs 31 woman you're going to see. She's industrious, and all her efforts are to the good of her family and to the reputation of her husband. She's smart and strong, both mentally and physically. She is hard-headed in business, yet soft-hearted in charity. And this is the woman whose husband has become somewhat famous. Remember verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. He's become somewhat famous. He can sit in the gates of the city. It's a prominent place. And why is there? Where does his fame come from? At least in some part, if not large measure, because of the excellence of his wife. And so often we fail to match up to these biblical standards. We live in a sin-cursed world, and we're prone to wander from the precepts of God, which He so graciously gave us. We fail in so many ways, but you know, today is Mother's Day. And as I've said, this is one of the few times I've ever preached a message that's peculiar to an occasion. So by way of application of this word from God to our hearts, I would have the men set their eyes upon two verses in these last words of Proverbs. In these two verses, which are found three responsibilities, and then we will turn our attention to specific parts of Ephesians, which James read. In two verses, men, I did say men, everybody else should keep tracking along, but I direct myself primarily to the men. Two verses I want us to look, and whatever age you are, man or boy, youth or young adult, married or single, I want you to pay close attention to these responsibilities regarding the proverbial Proverbs 31 woman. Two verses and three responsibilities for us by way of application of this strong woman. In verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. You know, I spoke earlier about how intimidating it sometimes can seem to have a woman with such business skills and determination as this woman we've studied. But I want to notice this. Her husband not only trusts her, but in the depth of his emotional being, he trusts her completely. The heart safely trusts her. He's not looking over his shoulder to seeing how she messed up. He isn't sending a messenger every few hours to see if there's anything left in the savings account. She's bought a field. She's made a major investment back then. Even today, it's a major investment. She's diversified that into vineyards. She sells garments to wealthy merchants. Now, her husband undoubtedly kept informed, but he doesn't seem to waver in his complete trust in her abilities. He's not looking behind going, oh my goodness, what's she done now? Am I going to be able to buy a fork brace for my Kawasaki? What's left? No, he trusts her completely. So this is first. We must trust our wives to carry out their responsibilities. We must give them opportunity to grow and be sure that they know that we think they can do it, as our Proverbs 31 husband has done. For us men, this is first. Look with me also at verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Husband and children calling her blessed. This is the second characteristic of the Proverbs 31 husband. This is the second responsibility, men, that we have. As the head of the house, the man leads in this. The children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, but it's the husband who's leading. It's the children of the house who see the view that the husband has for his wife. And they're following along. They're learning from him. They're seeing how he regards her. He calls her blessed, and the whole household does as well. That's second. And thirdly, his husband goes a step further. He praises her. Her husband also, and he praises her. Literally, he boasts about her. You know, in verse 23, her husband is known in the gates. I'll bet one of the things he's talking about is his wife. Because it says he's boasting about her. He's broadcasting about her. He's like saying, hey, have you seen this woman that I've got? I don't know how you do that without seeming a braggart, but he's boasting about his wife. You ever heard someone boast about you? Have you ever heard someone brag about you when you didn't know or they didn't know that you could hear them? I've heard that once. That's a fantastic feeling. Let me tell you something. That feels really good. And that makes you think that you can move on and do more and more and more. There's no stopping. It feels good to have someone have that opinion of you. The husband has three responsibilities in this Proverbs 31 wife. First, he trusts her with all his heart. Second, he blesses her. And third, he boasts about her. As a truism that people tend to rise or to sink to the highest or the lowest level of praise that they receive. I don't think many of us are going to doubt that. So we men need to ask ourselves something. Do our wives know our trust? Do they know our confidence in them? Do they hear us calling them blessed? Do we boast about them in a way that might cause them to say something like, honey, stop it, you're embarrassing me. None of the other wives have a husband who brags about them like that, and you're going to make them all jealous. Could our wives ever say such a thing? Would our wives ever come to us and say, stop bragging about me? It's embarrassing me. I'm getting uncomfortable. How many of us want a Proverbs 31 wife? I've heard this message preached a few times, and I didn't look at this and say, well, I'm just going to be a clever preacher and turn this thing on its head. That was not my intent. But every time I've heard it preached, I hear it preached, and I've never seen it actually, but it's kind of like a finger being pointed at all the wives, say, do you see these things? And why aren't you doing these things? And you better do these things, the Word of God says, and let's get on and do what the Word of God says. And that's all fair enough. The Word of God does say that, and the example is here for a particular reason. It's a model, a responsibility for the wives. But what gets left out so often? It's a responsibility for us husbands, and for you men who are not yet husbands, to know these things. Do you want a Proverbs 31 wife? You should. It's in here for a reason. This is the Word of God. It's giving us a model. How many of us are Proverbs 31 husbands? You know, when we read Proverbs 31, if it causes us to say wistfully, I wonder what that would be like. Let's be sure that our wives don't read verses 11 and 28 and ask the same thing. If we say, boy, that'd be nice to have that wife, let's be sure they don't look at that verse about the trust and the other verse about being called blessed and being praised. And they say, boy, I wonder what that would be like. Turn with me to Ephesians in chapter 5. The same passage that James read. We know from this passage that wives must submit to their husbands. This is not optional. The model, the schematic behind it, is the church's submission to Jesus Christ. So it's important words that are written when it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Wives must be submissive to their husbands. Without this, there is no Christian order in the house. We have anarchy. We have egalitarianism, which I would never commend to anyone. There's an order to things. There are roles. The authority in the house is given to the husband. Verse 25, let me read this again. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Let me stop for a moment. The love of the husband to the wife is the same as the love of Jesus Christ to the church. Just like the wife's submission to her husband is like the church's submission to Jesus Christ. Do you see the pattern? Do you see the importance of these things? This is Mother's Day. So I want to focus in on verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Did you hear that? We are to wash and sanctify our wives with the word, just as Jesus Christ does to the church. It is we men who will present our wives to our Lord Jesus Christ, just as the church will one day be presented to him. It is we men who must see and appreciate the value of our wives and make sure that they live in full confidence of that esteem which we have for them. And it is we men who will present our wives to the Lord without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, holy and without blemish. When we understand and live this, our wives, I think, will find their part of Proverbs 31 and Ephesians 5 pure joy and pleasure. We need to remember this. We need to live this, men, that we must love our wives as Christ loved the church. We must bring them to Christ as a glorious bride. And while we have them here, we sanctify them. We wash them with what? With the washing of the Word. We study the Word with our wives. We pray with our wives. We build our wives up in the Lord. We make sure that we know that they know how much we trust them, how blessed we think we are to have them, and watch them grow and flourish. Because the Word of God is powerful and has that effect. And when we show them the Word of God and show them our confidence that they can do this, oh, I know, we can't do it in our own strength. We need Jesus Christ. We need the power of the Spirit to bring us into conformance with His Word. But we men need to have that confidence in our wives. They need to see that in us, even as the Proverbs 31 husband showed it to his wife. Do you remember Matthew Henry's comment at the beginning about Proverbs 31 being a mirror that should reflect the Christian wife? I want to change that around a little bit, and I can do so because it is not the Word of God, it's the Word of Matthew Henry. What will be reflected there, men, is us. So the question is, will Christ, when He receives our bride, after our stewardship of this bride, when He receives her from us, will He see a woman who has been treasured more than rubies? Or will He see a woman who's glad to finally be released from her burdens, from an unappreciated life where she knew no trust and only rarely heard blessing and never once heard her husband boast about her? I want us to look in that mirror that Matthew Henry gives us. Because he's right, Proverbs 31, like the rest of the Bible, is a mirror. And instead of seeing the poor reflection of our wife as she tries to match up to this Proverbs 31 woman, I want us to see our reflections as we try to match up to the Proverbs 31 husband. So may we all strive to be Proverbs 31 wives and husbands. Amen. And let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, what a high standard Your Word sets for us. What an unattainable goal we have before us. One which we will never meet as long as we strive in our own power and strength. So we ask You, Lord, in Your kindness and Your mercy, to give us a greater measure of Your Spirit, a love for Your Word, and that by the power that You can give us, that power of Your Spirit which works towards us, we will be able to live in accordance with Your precepts. Heavenly Father, I pray for Your strengthening upon all the couples here at Lakewood Village Baptist Church. I pray, Lord, that as we look at passages like Proverbs 31 and Ephesians 5, that we would all take a balanced viewpoint and know that the Word is given not just to wives to be as industrious or submissive as the Bible shows, but for husbands also to be as loving and as boastful about their wives. Lord, help us to be the people, the couples, the families that You would have us to be. Guide us in all this. Empower us by Your Spirit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.